From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. The Red Barn Theater on 3rd Street in downtown Wilmington, launched by Linda Lavin and Steve Bakunas, is now on the market. It's widely expected to cease operation as a theater. Thalian Association, the theater company that rented the space for the last several years, is moving out in a matter of months. Another small Wilmington venue, the Brown Coat Theater and Pub, closed its doors in October. And City Stage, an iconic venue in the Masonic Building on Front Street in downtown Wilmington, also recently shuttered. All this while a newer venue and the largest in the area, the Wilson Center at Cape Fear Community College, opens its doors, bringing offerings this area hasn't been able to attract before. Today, it's the evolution of Wilmington's theater scene, the business behind the recent closures, and whether a rising tide does, in fact, lift all boats or whether the death knell has sounded for smaller theatrical companies in Wilmington. With us today, John Staton, arts and entertainment editor and writer for Star News Media in Wilmington. John Staton, welcome to Coastline.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Also with us is Justin Smith. He is artistic director for Cape Fear Theater Arts, as well as the founder and former artistic director of City Stage at Level 5. Justin Smith, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Rachel.
And we have Steve Vernon, artistic director of Big Dog Productions on Castle Street in Wilmington. Steve Vernon, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
And we're inviting you to join the conversation. How do you see Wilmington's theater landscape? Do you patronize local theatrical productions? Have you ventured into some of the smaller venues in town? Give us a call on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. Justin Smith, City Stage at Level 5. Mm-hmm. Really was an iconic part of the local theater scene. People would often mention it in the same breath with Thalian Hall when they were talking about theater in Wilmington. Why did it close?
Well, I think it's closed temporarily. I do think that it'll be opened up. I think there's been a lot of confusion about all three of them actually closing. But I can say that I can tell you the inside information a little bit for City Stage, and that is essentially it came down to the owner, Ian Mosley of City Stage and Level 5. I was the former owner and always ran and had a part of the theater side of it. But the owner of the building simply could not come to terms finally to get a renewable lease. And as business goes, they both dug their heels in and they separated ways. And so City Stage, as we know it, went away. And now it's under a new regime, I guess. And they are interested and searching and plan to do some type of live theater, whether it be comedy or theater events or music.
And Steve Vernon, Big Dog Productions has been around for a long time. When did that launch?
Big Dog Productions is entering its 21st or 22nd year, actually. But as far as having its own venue, it's had its own venue for about 8 years now on Castle Street. Before then, most of its shows were rentals at Thalian Hall in the Studio Theater.
And what size venue is Cape Fear Playhouse?
We're a 54-seat theater, so it's intimate.
And what is the biggest challenge about keeping a company like Big Dog Productions afloat in that space?
I think the challenges come with actually having a space. You know, a lot of people who want to start theater companies, and perhaps even the people who were on the board of directors of Big Dog 8 years ago when they decided to get their own venue, I don't think a lot of them do enough research into what it means to have to pay the bills to keep a building open. You know, there's the challenges that come with producing plays. There's also the challenges that come with unstopping toilets, fixing light fixtures, running, utilities and keeping a building's doors open. You know, there's rent involved. There's always, speaking of landlords, you know, there's always negotiations when leases run out. So there is a perhaps lack of business-minded people on a lot of creative boards, and it really takes a combination of both to run a company and a building at the same time.
Has there been a time during your tenure at Cape Fear Playhouse on Castle Street that you've thought, we might have to close the doors?
I wouldn't say that that is occurred yet, but there's always in the back of my mind the reality that, you know, if we were to have a bad season, that's a reality that comes with it, you know. One bad show isn't going to close down a company, but if enough events kind of coincide, then, yeah, it can be pretty perilous.
John Staton of the Star News, you just published a really well-done, in-depth piece today, sort of about the local theater landscape. What do you see as the factors behind these three closings?
Well, I mean, I think other people have said you can't really – there are different reasons why they all close. I mean, Browncoat closed for – you know, and we can get into it, but, I mean, I think they all close for different reasons. And so it's hard to – that's why it's hard to say, okay, this happened. You know, you can't say that. You know, like the Wilson Center opens, therefore these three places have closed. It's not that easy, as Justin and Steve have both talked about. There's a lot of things going on right now that kind of makes it, I think Justin called it a perfect storm of, you know, you have the film industry downturn, which is a lot of people will tell you, you know, the film industry brings actors to Wilmington, and actors, when they're not working on movies, want to do, you know, keep acting.
So the disappearance of actors from the local talent pool, we see that there's an ebb there. Is that really a contributing factor to fewer productions here in Wilmington?
I don't know if it is a factor to fewer productions, but it does make it harder to mount the productions. Speaking from personal experience, the last 2 or 3 years, it's getting more and more difficult to cast shows. And very rarely do you get to enough people at auditions to cast a show. You have to start making phone calls and calling in favors and begging people, and it can be very frustrating.
It was really, as Chiaki and I sat down and decided to give up the reins of City Stage before we handed it over to make it City, where when it turned into City Stage Co., one of the very big factors was, how do we cast 8 shows a year here locally? And you know, as you sit down and you wonder and you try and gather your season together, you try and think of, okay, well, this is 20 people in September. There's 4 other shows going on. Can't it happen anymore? And it really became a huge, not a huge, it became a deciding factor.
John Staton.
And I was just going to say, I mean, I don't think we're sounding the death knell for theater or for plays, because, I mean, Steve's got a production of Crimes of the Heart going on. They're sold out all weekend. Boeing over at UNCW is completely packed, and that's a 200-plus seat theater. And so, you know, maybe it's just that, you know, I think Justin's talked a lot about supply and demand. Maybe, you know, instead of having 4 or 5 plays opening on a weekend, maybe 2 is a good number for this town to have. You know, I think there are people out there that want to see theater. Clearly, I was at Boeing. I was surprised that the theater was basically full. They have a little bit of built-in audience. They have students that have to go see those shows, but I saw 4 of my parents' friends out there, you know, so there are people going to see shows.
Well, John Staton, how many reviews do you do yourself a year, and how many does your staff do?
I think last year there were around 60 that we reviewed,
and
that 60 plus maybe.
And can you compare, you have numbers, you publish them in your piece about last year versus one period
right.
of time versus
well, right.
the most
it was
recent.
Like, and I kind of do that because we have the Theater Awards, so we kind of go from mid-November to mid-November, so from this most recent mid-November till the end of February, it'll be 14. I think the year before it was 21. And things fluctuate every year for many reasons, but I think you can chalk it up to Browncoat. I mean, that's at least 2 or 3 right there.
Right.
City Stage, 2 or 3 more.
Yep.
So that's, you know, it's about 7. You know, and then, you know, a couple of odd ones that are just kind of random that you throw in there too. So,
besides the talent pool, is there any other way that the loss of the large, you know, the lion's share of the film industry here has contributed to this? Steve Vernon.
I mean, I will not disagree that it has removed a lot of actors that have left town to go to areas where the film industry is a little healthier. And I can't speak for other companies, but in my position with Big Dog, we are a community theater. And I think part of the problem that nobody addresses is there seems to be a mindset within the community that you have to be the actor class. You know, you have to be that type of profession or whatever to do theater. And a lot of people think, well, if I've never done a play or I haven't done one since high school or college, that somehow our doors are closed to them coming in and auditioning. And I think one thing that I know we need to strengthen on Big Dogs Inn is reaching out to the community and letting them know that community theater is not a label that denotes or connotates a certain level of talent or experience. It means we're part of the community, and you guys are the community, and we're here to serve you, not just as audience members, but people that want to come in and be creative.
I think
Justin Smith.
Yeah, yes, I think one of the things that the film industry, one of the other ways the film industry has affected us, it being gone, is the fact that it was young people with good paying jobs, people who could afford the price of tickets, and honestly, that's and who wanted to see, who wanted to, you know, reach out and go and see theater. They were all very supportive of our theater troops. So I think that you know, as we see, and it's one of the problems, as we see everything, inflation, everything raising, the rents to all these facilities, as ticket prices have needed to go up to accommodate the facilities' rentals, we need to find that other group of audience that is willing to come see theater on a regular basis, who can afford it. And this town at this moment doesn't necessarily have that.
And we had a comment from Anne Russell from Wilmington. She called in and said, I'm a playwright. We have work here as good as you can find on Broadway. People don't realize the expense that goes into the production. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM, talking about the local theater scene. We'd love to hear how and whether you patronize local theater. Do you venture into the smaller, more obscure venues, or do you stick with the larger theaters? Steve Vernon of Big Dog Productions, John Staten of the Star News, and Justin Smith of Cape Fear Theater Arts are with us on this Thursday, and they're answering your questions. You can give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. The phone lines are open. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. Today, it's an exploration of Wilmington's theater scene. Three small venue closures, are they a sign of waning support for local theater or part of a natural cycle? With us today, Justin Smith, Artistic Director of Cape Fear Theater Arts and founder and former Artistic Director of City Stage at Level 5, Steve Vernon, Artistic Director of Big Dog Productions, which lives at Cape Fear Playhouse on Castle Street, and John Staten, Arts and Entertainment Editor and writer for Star News Media in Wilmington. We'd love to hear about your local theater habits. Give us a call on this Thursday at 910-343-1138. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. Is some of this ebb right now survival of the fittest? Is this about quality and the business of theater? In other words, you think about Linda Lavin and Steve Bakunas starting Red Barn Studio Theater. And when they were producing shows at that theater, it was almost always just sold out. And if you didn't get tickets to shows there when the show opened, you might have been out of luck for the run of that show. You could say that part of that was Linda Lavin's star power. Part of it might have been the quality of those productions. But is there a sort of refining process going on here, John Staten?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if it's quality, but it's definitely audience. You know, you go to, you know, there's a lot of shows at Browncoat, just frankly, there weren't a lot of people there. So, you know, they had a bar, they have very popular karaoke, but at some point, you got to sell tickets. So, you know, and I saw some good stuff there, but at the same time, I saw a lot of shows there, you know, 5-10 people, and, you know, so I think that's hard to sustain. I mean, Red Barn, definitely, you know, I mean, Linda Lavin's a Broadway name. I mean, she's a nationally known person, and you got a chance to see her, you know, 10 feet away, and she's fantastic. And I don't know that since the Alien Association took it over, it's been, you know, there's been some stuff there. And even, you know, Susan Habis, the audience told me that people haven't been beating down her door to rent that place. So it's not like, you know, they had a lot of dark weekends, and they have, you know, some success with, you know, their shows, and they have some decent numbers. And I think Panache, Anthony Lawson's, did some shows there, and so did Pineapple Shaped Lamps did some shows there. So, but I just don't think there was enough there to warrant them, you know, holding on to that.
Is some of this about the artistic director decisions around a season? Steve Vernon, do you, you're an artistic director, so it sounds like you make your living as an artist. But do you have to sometimes forego the art side of it in favor of the commercial side?
A lot of the job of an artistic director is more about there's a lot more to it than being an artist, unfortunately. For me, there's a lot of administrative and a lot of, you know, there's people are very helpful when it comes to suggesting shows. And like,
he says through gritted teeth.
Right. My best friend and I think that we would be great if you did this show. But there's
and where do those suggestions come from?
Quite often it comes from, unfortunately, it comes more from the acting community than it does from the audience community. And quite often you have to balance with, you know, people have good intentions and they certainly don't mean to be kind of self-centered when they suggest shows, because 9 times out of 10 or 7 times out of 10, 11 times out of 10, what they're saying is, I'd really like to be in this show. But when it comes to choosing a season, there's a lot that you have to factor into it. And it's almost like you have to have a crystal ball, because you're choosing shows that may not be presented to an audience for 6 to 12 months later. And trying to understand the zeitgeist ahead of time can be tricky. You know, I produced probably the biggest money-losing production of Your Good Man, Charlie Brown, ever, because it opened 2 weeks after 9/11.
Oh,
and there was no way that you could have predicted a seismic event like that and the effect that it would have on audiences going out and wanting to see a show that generally you would have no problem selling tickets to. So a lot of it is that you just can't plan for what's going to happen. And theater companies that have seasons aren't always nimble enough to be able to change gears and say, wow, this event just happened. Here's a show that addresses this perfectly. I'm going to mount it 5 weeks from now.
So that's taking the temperature of the general public. But what about you as an artistic director? Certainly there are shows that you've really wanted to do. And you just said, how do I sell this?
There are shows that I would really like to do. And when I can afford to produce them on my own, I will. Because my job isn't to serve what I want. My job is to serve an audience and to serve the technical and artistic base.
Justin Smith, when you were at City Stage, there was a little bit of a different business dynamic there because you had this adjacent bar. How did that help you? Did that give you more freedom in terms of what you could choose for your slate?
I don't think the bar gave us the bar never gave us any. The bar was excellent because it kind of shaped the types of shows that we could do. You could bring your alcohol in there, and people would come and enjoy the sunset before they went to see the show. The way the business was set up, though, was definitely a little different, because we've always sustained ourselves off. We don't have a board of directors. We've sustained ourselves off of ticket sales only. We've not done fundraisers. We did not do that. So we would structure our seasons and sometimes took flack with it with what we would consider three commercial hits. We would usually, you know, and sometimes that meant bringing back the same show over and over and over again, much to the dismay of some people.
Sure.
But because of that, we were able to do the shows that we really wanted to do that perhaps had no reasons. The Hedwig and the Angry Inches, the Spring Awakenings, the Next to Normals, the Diviners, we'd done twice and lost money both times. And it's probably the two best shows that have ever been done on that stage. Absolutely gorgeous, brilliant shows.
Right.
And all of the straight plays we did were always just something. They were never to make money. They were never to do anything. So we used those three shows to produce our season. He said the three shows that were popular we used to produce the rest of our season.
And that's not at all unlike what – you know, I have to do with Big Dog and a lot of other companies do. You know, you do your Odd Couple and your other famous shows or whatever. You put two or three or four of those in a season because they're one or two shows that you, as an artist, that like I was joking earlier, but yeah, there are shows that I would really like to do. But I understand I have to pillow those, and we're booking them with shows that are more audience, more likely to bring in an audience.
So when you pitch those slates to your board of directors, do you position it that way and say, okay, these are the ringers, and this one is going to be a little more experimental?
Quite often, yes. And, you know, part of my job is to justify the choices that I make, and you know, I serve at the pleasure of a board of directors, so they can release me at any time, and we've seen other artistic directors be released from boards of directors in this town. And sometimes we understand why, sometimes we don't, but it is a dynamic because, yes, there is that justification that has to occur for a show. For example, years ago, we did Night Mother, which is a very heavy drama, two-person show, both female, mother-daughter. The daughter's going to commit suicide, tells the mother, and over an hour and a half, she tries to talk her out of it. And it's a gorgeous piece of theater, and it's amazing, and it's done in real time. And we knew nobody was going to come see it. But it was something that, you know, myself and the board at the time and some other folks involved really felt strongly about doing a show like that because, you know, yes, you want to be commercial because that's what keeps the doors open. But at the same time, you do have to serve the legacy of theater.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking today about the Wilmington theater scene and whether the shuttering of three local venues, the Red Barn, Brown Coat Theater, and City Stage, are signs of the waning theater business or part of a natural cycle. Our guests today, Justin Smith, Artistic Director for Cape Fear Theater Arts and founder and former Artistic Director of City Stage, John Staton, Arts and Entertainment Editor and writer for Star News Media in Wilmington, and Steve Vernon, Artistic Director for Big Dog Productions at Cape Fear Playhouse. And they're answering your questions on this Thursday. Have you ever wondered why local theater groups make certain artistic choices, or do you prefer some venues over others? Tell us about your view of the local theater scene. Call us at 910-343-1138 or email us today at coastline@whqr.org. John Staton, how do you see your responsibility as a reviewer of local theater? When you think about New York, you've got these, you know, huge ticket prices, and so the critics there are playing the role of, you know, I'm a gatekeeper for these huge ticket prices, and this is what you need to right. know before you make that investment. Is your role different here?
Than it would be in New York? Well, I think so. I mean, if I was good enough to go right in New York, I'd probably go right in New York. But I try to be fair but honest. You know, I'm not writing for the Village Voice trying to make my name by, you know, ripping someone a new one. I try to be, you know, fair, but at the same time, I'm not going to tell people that I liked something when I didn't. So, you know, I also see it as trying to give exposure.
Do you guys see, and you're talking about some of these productions that you really loved, like The Diviners and Night Mother, and they really didn't get the audiences. And those, I don't know, but those got good reviews, John?
I think I don't know that I reviewed The Diviners. I don't think I did. But I think they got good reviews. I think sometimes a review has an impact on, you know, brings an audience. Sometimes it doesn't. I mean, sometimes it's just, I think I've been told that, you know, I gave something a good review and then ticket sales went up and I've given stuff good reviews and no one went. So it's kind of hard to, I think it's almost a show by show.
It's amazing. And I mean, no disrespect to John.
I've given stuff bad reviews and it sold great.
It sells out, exactly. Yeah, so it's like, there are some people that are like, oh, wow, apparently that show's really bad. Let's go see it.
I do think, as far as I think at this kind of crossroads that we've talked about, where the ticket prices in particular at Thalion and for musicals have been raised to a certain level, it is going to take a unified effort. It's going to take everybody being on the same page. Whether or not we want to, no one should take any blame for any of this. Wilson Center should not. I've read John's Wilson Center, Shane and Tony at Thalion Hall. It's no one's blame at all. Tony's got a building to run. There's towns much smaller than ours that have a Wilson Center that do very, very well. It would be a shame for Wilmington to not share in that. For us as a theater community, it's going to take a unified effort from the press, from from the theater companies, from Tony, to realize that there's a certain amount of money that we need to be able to raise and a certain production value and quality that we need to raise the level to here in Wilmington to compete on that level, to be able to get Tony what he needs, to be able to be able to sustain all of these companies at the same time, and to be able to compete with these new shows at the Wilson Center that are charging $65 to $100. And although there's thousands of people who are already written off community theater in Wilmington and are going outside, there's still a lot of people that were going to Thalian, a lot of people going to Thalian that are now going to the Wilson Center. And if they're going to the Wilson Center, are they still going to come to Thalian Hall? And that's the big question that we all have to answer and we all have to address. And quality is part of it, no matter what we want to do. As of right now, rights have been raised. The rental rates have been raised. Everything has been raised. So ticket prices have to be raised. We as theater companies have to ask ourselves, are the ticket holders getting the value of what their ticket prices have been raised to? And if all they're doing is seeing the same shows for literally almost twice as much money, I think there could be a problem there.
So are there two different markets here, the people who will buy tickets to the symphony and the Paula Poundstone one-nighters, Liza Minnelli performances, and the people who go to local, smaller community theater venues? Are those different people?
There are not. I don't think they're different people. I think that there's obviously going to be a portion. I couldn't put a percentage to it. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But there's got to be some type of large percentage of people who are theater goers, who go to theater at Thalian to see quality theater and go to Wilson Center. And it's a new venue. And the question is then it breaks down into even smaller groups of people. There's some people who have a strict budget on what they can spend for arts right. and entertainment. So I think I said to you, the $100 is being spent on Pippin this weekend. What three shows are getting missed out on locally? And it's not just theater. It's not just the Wilson right. Center. You have to look at the amphitheater, which has been very big. Ziggy's has had now it's something else again. Throne Theater has had a larger impact. Just the amount of options for Wilmington has grown, and it's terrific. But we're now seeing it all come to we have a responsibility as theater companies to up the production value to get the ticket prices where they need to be.
And where do they need to be?
For a musical? I think I'm comfortable for a musical at $35 at Thalian. Right now, we are at 30. I think other companies have gone to 32. Yep. You can't deny that you can't erase the possibility that us having to raise our prices from 25 just a couple of years ago, that doesn't have some type of impact. In a town this size with the economy the way it is, you have to understand that pie, every few dollars, the ticket price goes up. That's why my $20 ticket price is on Thursday. That's why Thalian on $20 ticket nights. That's what the audience is telling us. This is what we can afford.
Right.
You see these really big, huge nights. It takes a hit to get them there to pay the $30 and $32.
Steve Vernon.
Well, theater has always had to compete with other forms of entertainment for people's attention, but also for entertainment dollar. But the fact is, we're now also having to compete with people being able to pay their rent, being able to pay health insurance, being able to keep their kids in a good school. Things have shrunk all around, and the arts are certainly not immune to a damaged economy, which is what we've been going through for the last 12, 15 years. And not getting political or anything like that, but that's just the fact of the matter. And Justin and I kind of dance in two slightly different worlds. Big Dog is not doing the types of shows that are going to be seen at the Wilson Center. So when they bring a big Broadway musical in, it's not really competing with our version of the Birds Attack, an all-male drag version of the Birds. But that entertainment dollar, we're still trying to fight for a percentage of that same entertainment dollar. And when you ask an audience member or a potential audience member to invest in 2 or 3 hours watching your product, you do have to offer them something that they don't walk away going, I could have sat home and watched Police Academy 7 again.
You know, I did hear a comment from someone when she heard that we were going to have this discussion today. And she said, well, for some of us who are on a budget, once you start talking about a $30, even a $25 ticket price, and you look at what you're paying for a couple of tickets and the quality, and then you look at what you could see at the Wilson Center, a Broadway touring show, for just a little bit more,
What is a little bit more, though? $70 for two tickets to see a show that Justin's doing at the Hall versus $200 for two tickets to see at the Wilson Center. I mean, that's a pretty wide breadth.
The ticket price is? I think when we went to see Paula Poundstone, it was $45 a month.
I think 45 to 100.
I mean, it varies. Yeah. I think they have a pretty wide range of.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think there are more, and even Shane Fernando, who runs the center, has said these are not prices that people have seen here.
Right.
And that's absolutely true.
Right.
And in the long run, it could end up helping us. And if I could, I'd also like to really quick just say, there is a little bit of a difference between what Steve and I are talking about, but it is all community theater. And as we support, as we look to the supporters for this stuff, I believe they have to realize they're supporting, a lifestyle. They're supporting a safe place for so many people. I mean, Steve and I, and even John to some extent. I mean, I grew up at the Community Arts Center. That was my home. I grew up at the Studio Theater. It was my home with these people. And it made me feel comfortable here. It made me feel – so every time you're going, you're not necessarily just supporting that – that particular performance, you're also supporting, you're supporting a huge group of people who, may not feel comfortable otherwise or in other places.
Absolutely true.
I want to make sure because although there's differences,
right,
everybody feels.
And we can continue that thought too when we come back from this break. You're listening to Coastline talking about the ebb and flow of Wilmington's local theater scene. You can reach us by email on this Thursday at coastline@whqr.org or give us a call at 910-343-1138. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. Today, we're exploring the recent developments in the local theater community. Three small venues have announced they're closing their doors all within months of one another. Some say it's a sign of a waning theater community. Others say it's the natural inhale and exhale of the theater scene in Wilmington. Our guest today, John Staton, arts and entertainment editor and writer for Star News Media in Wilmington, Justin Smith, artistic director of Cape Fear Theater Arts and founder and former artistic director of City Stage, and Steve Vernon, artistic director of Big Dog Productions at Cape Fear Playhouse on Castle Street in Wilmington. They're answering your questions on this Thursday, and we'd also like to hear how and whether you enjoy local theater. If you don't, did you patronize theater in another city in which you lived? What's the difference? Our number this Thursday is 910-343-1138. You can also reach us at coastline@whqr.org. Justin Smith, you mentioned earlier in the show that the local theater community needs to kind of collectively up its production quality. What exactly do you mean by that?
Sure. I think here's people, not only are people going to see these shows at the Wilson Center, but they're now introduced, some of them are being introduced to a quality of theater that they haven't seen. These people have enormous budgets. And what I'm talking about is the theater companies have to take a little more of a risk to up the production value of their shows. I'm not talking, there is plenty of talent in this town to put on many shows.
Do you mean financial risk?
Financial risk, as far as it goes. The financial risk. We have, in the last 3 years, we've rented sound equipment and used Mike Thrift, who is a Soundwave Audio, who's a professional sound technician, for our shows. And I think it's made an enormous difference in sound quality and given people more of a professional experience. So as we're doing it, when you're competing with the best lights in this beautiful state-of-the-art venue, you have to do something to compete with that if you want to get these people back. It's not just about money. It's about something else. And I think – and that's what I was saying. I think us as venues, as theater companies, and even when it goes to the press, we have to recognize those things. So.
Kim writes, the shows we see at the Wilson Center are shows we would have driven to Durham to see. We still see the same number of shows at Thalian that we saw before the Wilson Center opened. It's important to have a variety of shows so everyone can pick their pleasure. Thanks for that, Kim. Steve Vernon, Linda Lavin and Steve Bakunas used to do open runs. They didn't do it with everything, but that was one of the ways that they were able to make back their money. They would just, especially if a show was a hit, they would just run it for as long as it would get audiences. Is that something that a theater company like Big Dog Productions could ever do with its own venue? Can you just say, hey, we're not going to do a season this year. We're just going to try running shows.
Well, and again, I'm not going to say you're comparing apples and oranges, but that was a very different situation with what Steve and Linda had. That there was a certain luxury on their part that they weren't under the gun to produce X amount of shows a year in order to pay rent on the building. They had a little bit more financial security than most nonprofits. With Big Dog, I try to leave enough room between shows that we can extend for an amount of time. But we can't not have something specifically scheduled for a long period of time and rely on people to remember that we're still there. When I first took over at Big Dog as artistic director, there were 32 weekends out of the year that were dark. That means no income was coming in, and they were still having to pay rent every month. At the time, rent was something like $900 a month. Well, with our lease, we're now looking at $2,000 a month that we pay to rent a building. That doesn't include utilities. That doesn't include production costs. And, you know, we don't really have the luxury of saying, well, let's just not schedule anything. We've gone now, last year, we produced 10 months of programming out of 12. And so we've had to constantly increase programming. And we're just not in a position to rely on an open-ended run.
John Staton, how has theater evolved over the course of your – you grew up in Wilmington, so yeah. You've really seen it ebb and flow. And how is it different today than it was, say, 10 years ago or even 20 years ago?
Well, it's gotten consistently more. I mean, there was a time, you know, and Steve, I'm sure, remembers this too, there was pretty much the Thalian Association, UNCW, then Opera House came in the 80s. I mean, there was basically two companies doing stuff. And, I mean, this town has a great theater history. That's a great tradition to have. At the same time, you have to live in today. I mean, I'm amazed at the talent in this town. I mean, you know, I've seen stuff in L.A. and New York and D.C. And there's just as good actors here as there are anywhere. It does ebb and flow. You know, there's been times, I mean, back in the whole Runaway production, when things went to Canada, you know, I think you saw a downturn in their debt. You know, there's a lot of companies. I mean, back then no one had their own building, so it was just companies that stopped doing stuff. So
you're talking about, was that the 80s or the 90s?
I think it was the late 90s, whenever, you know, all
incentives
the
started.
Right.
For
right, and then so stuff moved to Canada, and then the film industry went down, and then I'm not saying it's completely tied to the film industry, but you know, it certainly helps to have those people in town. I've seen it. It gets better. You know, it just gets better and better. Honestly,
you're listening to Coastline. We're talking about Wilmington Theater and what's happening with it today. Our guest, Steve Vernon, artistic director for Big Dog Productions, Justin Smith, artistic director for Cape Fear Theater Arts, and John Staton, arts and entertainment editor and writer for Star News Media in Wilmington. If you have a question for them on this Thursday, give us a call at 910-343-1138 or email us at coastline@whqr.org and let us know about your local theater habits if you have them. Chaz from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've been living in Wilmington for about 2 years now. And I've started going to the Wilson Center since it opened up. I used to go to DPAC. I still actually drive all the way down to Durham to go to DPAC for shows because I love them. And I haven't been to Thalian Hall, but I check it out. I guess my comment is that I didn't know that these other theaters even existed here, and I guess you could say it's my fault because I didn't look it up to see what was going on. But the only scenes I ever see advertised or hear of are Wilson Center and Thalian Hall.
And where do you hear about those shows, Chaz, when you say see advertised?
On the radio. I think I've even seen it on television. But I've never seen an advertisement for any of these small theater groups. And so I'm going to look them up now and see what's playing. But and I do have a suggestion, and this might not be possible, because I'm not into theater arts in terms of putting on productions, but comedy. Today, in this day and age, with what's going on in the world, we especially need comedy. I went and saw Paula Poundstone, and it was such a relief to be able to laugh for a night.
So
I go see Whoopi Goldberg in June. And I think if these smaller venues are having difficulty, maybe they should mix it up with some comedians.
That is a great suggestion. Chaz, thank you so much for your call. I guess she was not the person who walked out during Paula Poundstone's show. Steve Vernon, with advertising. How does small theater company get the word out?
It is tough, and we rely a lot on social media. We actually rely a lot on, we have an email list and what have you. Now, here's a thing that to keep in mind, and I respect what she had to say, but, first off, it's very hard for us to section off the amount of money that we bring in and when a venue eats up so much of that and trying to figure out, okay, how much can you devote to advertising? Now, we actually have a really strong audience base. Most of our shows are 3/4 to fully sold out. Even some of our lesser known shows now, we've developed an audience and a reputation with our audience that they're willing to take a risk and come see a lot of our shows. So it sounds kind of strange to be crying poor mouth when you've got full seats all the time. But it's the fact that we've tried to keep our ticket prices down while increasing our production values, while paying rent on a space or whatever. But comedy is important. So you try to at least reach out to people who want to come see comedies. You know, you do... People stay away in droves when you do dramas quite often. You can't not sell enough tickets, not quick enough to a lot of heavy dramas. But, you know, at times, too, you want to add those to the landscape of what's going on because there is an audience for that.
What's happening with Cape Fear Theater Arts, Justin Smith, now that the Level 5 sure. City Stage location isn't open?
Yeah, you know, right now, we the last few years we had only done the New Year's show. At this point that's where we're sticking. It's really just Chiaki and I who are making the decision. So there's nice parts of it, and there's we don't have somebody pushing us to go do an 8-show season. But next year it might be 8 shows. You never know how it goes. But right now we're still friends, and it works out.
I can loan you a board of directors.
That was a conscious choice, man.
How many theater companies in Wilmington? I know we can't quantify this without a spreadsheet, but how many do we think there are that are nomadic, like Cape Fear Theater Arts, that don't have a brick-and-mortar home base, John Staten?
Well, most all of them. I mean, Big Dog is one of the few that has their own spaces now. I'd say that as far as people doing different shows in different venues, you know, I think Anthony Lawson's companies, I think they're at 3 venues now, like Pineapple-Shaped Lamps is...
And that's
joked
Panache
about,
you're talking about.
Yeah, Panache. And Pineapple-Shaped Lance has joked about shutting down multiple venues because they've been all over town.
Thalian Association they have their own space. Yep.
Thalian Association has, and they're, you know, kudos to them. They're doing a play on the Battleship this summer. So, and right. I think, you know, I'd love to see people doing shows in unusual spaces. And there's challenges that come with that, too. I mean, you know, you have an established space. You have the lights there. You have a, you know, soundboard. You have a booth. Then you have, you know, a new space. You've got to bring in all that stuff. So I think it's, you know, there's challenges to both. And, you know, as paying rent on one hand as opposed to bringing in all your stuff on the other hand. So I think hopefully we'll see either a new space emerge, or you know, people are going to start being creative and just doing shows in places you might not expect.
Isn't Dreams, actually, Dreams of Wilmington opening up a space?
Well, it's already been open, and he said he can't take the calls fast enough. I mean, he said he hasn't even started marketing it, and it's been Dramtree's doing their next show there in April. Right. Pineapple Shaped Lamp's doing another show in March, and apparently he's, and it's a pretty wide open space. It can be whatever you want. There can be no stage. There can be a stage. There can be all kinds of different seating. It's not like a, firm seating type arrangement, but that seems like a space that's kind of emerging. I think people talk about wanting a mid-sized space, and some people say, well, I am a mid-sized space. What are you talking about? The Art Center, and that seems to do well for some stuff, and other people don't seem to want to use it for other stuff. So it's, there's a lot going on.
There became this boom in the 2000s about companies getting their own venues.
Yep.
And before that, it's funny now, you get into a lot of conversations like on social media with theater people, and there's all kinds of suggestions within the community of what needs to happen. Quite often it's brought up, well, there needs to be a mixed-use space that's available to everybody. And it's like, there is. It's called Thalian Hall. The problem is you have to pay to use it. Right. And I think that's something kind of going back to some things that were discussed earlier, but a lot of people – especially companies that are new or people that have been acting for a long time but are just now saying, I'm ready to produce theater. They don't understand that venues cost money, and that cost has to be shared with the people who rent the venue along with the people who buy tickets to come to the venue. And I think it surprises a lot of young companies or people that are, and by young, I'm not talking about age, but experience level as far as producing, not doing theater as an actor or director, but as a producer, they don't understand the cost involved with renting a venue.
And it's pretty tough to do something. Thalian Hall is a fantastic space, and Justin Smith, you've certainly used it before, but there's one major theater company in town that does musicals there a lot, but it's you get your few weekends. And then you're out. And so you have to sell all those shows and then get out. Does that make it harder to make the money back?
I guess so. I mean, if I were to compare owning, having my own place as to over here, the money just shifts a little bit. You really are. There's no right or wrong. We tried 8 show seasons. We tried 3 show seasons. And every time we think we have the formula figured out, there's something new that kind of pops up, and that's the thing with this industry. But I think that yes, there are challenges to just going in for 3 weeks. Establishing most people, as even the last caller, or kind of what she was saying, associate most things that are done at Thalian with Thalian Hall. And there's not – it's really difficult to discern what is done. We actually found that at City Stage. We became kind of particular because people would – as we were just letting people do it, people would then immediately associate it with City Stage and the productions that were being done at City Stage.
And so if you felt that it was a subpar production, that reflected on you in a way.
I guess.
John Staten.
I mean, that is true. I think people in the community don't realize how much – people don't necessarily recognize Opera House from Thalian Association from anybody else as much as people who are in it.
Right. Steve Vernon, what do you have running this weekend? You're
Crimes
just about sold out, but okay.
I can't speak for this week. I know ticket sales have been very heavy, but we were sold out last weekend, which was our opening weekend.
And how can people get tickets?
The best way is to go to Big Dawg, DAWG, productions.org or .com.
And we'll put that on our website too.
Excellent, thank you.
With a link. That's this edition of Coastline. Steve Vernon, John Staten, Justin Smith, thank you all so much for joining us
today.
Thanks
for having us.
Thank you.
Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Producer is Isabel Shepherd. Technical director is Ken Campbell. Today's show was engineered by Caleb Covington. If you missed part of this episode, look for it at whqr.org or get the podcast from iTunes. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.